You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome to Dr. Michelle Live. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're walking with me today on this path of life. We're winding around. It's a beautiful day. It's gorgeous this morning. Monday morning, we had a supermoon. Now, wherever you are, it can reach, I guess it was best seen like at 6 a.m. Maybe that was in the Pacific of our country, the Pacific time zone, and 9 a.m. somewhere else. I got a little confused. I saw it last night, but I didn't see it actually at its best this morning. I assume it's going to be big tonight. And there's all, you know, when I'm looking at it, and when I was listening to something about it today on space.com, a little video from a guy from NASA, he was speaking to me, a little insight into the odd workings of Dr. Michelle's brain. He was speaking to me because what he was speaking to me was telling me all about the supermoon in 5 minutes. But it really, I got to see the working of the human, the working of the human being, the mind, along with the working of the planets and the working of God and the working of health, the working of resilience, and where we need to kind of keep retooling. I will bring that all together in this program. And so that I had to make sure that I was not completely on the moon, so to speak, pun totally intended, that I went to Father Richard Rohr, St. Francis, St. Bonaventure, and St. Hildegard of Bingen, who really is the wildest woman I've ever encountered as far as one of our saints. This woman, I mean, really, it's very, and part of it's even difficult to read because it can sound like the most new agey thing in the whole world. And she lived from 1098 to 1179, and she is a saint, and she's considered one of the great Christian mystics of all time. And the more, and I need to get a link to this one piece that she wrote. And all you who go to Catholic Mass and do hear some of our ancient music, you will know this piece. You will know the melody. I didn't know this was her, but I want to connect these dots. I want to talk about our resilience. I want to talk about what this whole, when this gentleman from NASA, whose name was not given in the interview, by the way, but you can see it on space.com. The way that he was talking about what influences the moon and how the thing, what actually gets affected, but how you might not notice how it gets affected because of the different poles, the different gravitational poles. And I started putting that connection back to us. We are getting affected little by little by little by little poles or big poles that we may not be able to notice. There are influences, says the man from NASA. Influences in the orbit of all the planets and the solar system, specifically pulling on each one of them, but he's now talking about the moon. So goes the moon, so goes the Earth, so goes Jupiter, so goes whatever's out there, any star, any asteroid, any planet, anything. And anyone who's seen a rudimentary drawing of an atom can't help but think that kind of looks like the little rudimentary darlings of our solar system. So in the, as it's been told, the DNA of God, or the God DNA, where he just kind of makes everything. We have so many similarities, and some people have taken, and I'm going to use this to bring back to our very current events. Some people get, well, I'll give you an example. In my own life, my daughter-in-law, after I would say a few months, maybe longer than that, after my grandson died, my father was, we were all in this living room, and she was online and she was looking at some website, and she said, we have in us stardust. Scientists can map and know that in our blood, we carry stardust, actual stardust. My father reacted to that because he was looking in a dualistic, from a dualistic viewpoint. At that moment, he said, that's just crazy. This just isn't the way. My father's a very learned man, a very open man. But it was like, no, because he immediately presupposed that that statement was going to, because it was scientific, and he's a scientist, but because he was, it was scientific, that it was saying that God, there's no God. Without opening up and realizing that one doesn't exclude the other. And if you read St. Hildegard of Bingen, which I'm doing in very tiny doses, it's like the little a cure they used to have with little gold dust. You know, you just do this in little tiny doses, because she's very difficult to read. And I like people who have interpreted her because it's easier. But sometimes I want to see what she says and try to get my mind around the fact that, no, I'm not going to eat whale. I'm most probably in my lifetime. But that she came about many of her things through these visions that she had through a lifetime of devotion to God. As a child, she was actually given to a the woman version of an abbey. It is an abbey. Never mind. An abbey. So all of a sudden I'm thinking there's an abbot, and she was an abbess actually, eventually, which was very unusual for her time. She was like a total feminist in that regard. I mean, women in 1098, when she was born, somewhere between 1098 and 1179, she became an abbot. Basically, but she was an abbess. It was a very unusual thing to happen because of the politics and economic system of the times and of the church at the time. They depended a lot on people, rich people, actually giving one of their children to monastic life and then giving like a dowry, almost wedding them to them. So that's all down in history. But we have in us an ability to draw from all nature. We're instructed to do so. We are instructed to do so. God doesn't go, oh no, just believe in some ethereal being. He says, excuse me, I have all this in front of you, and we are not mutually exclusive. And he gives us so many realities just by living and breathing on this earth, but he also gives us so many realities to which we can extrapolate our own nature, from all nature. So when I'm looking at the supermoon and listening about the supermoon, I start thinking about family healing. I start thinking about resilience in times of distress and disease. I start thinking about the gravitational pulls. When he says the NASA guy, the talking head, we call them, you know, the guy just sitting there, and he's a NASA man. So he's not, you know, he's not Brad Pitt or Johnny Depp or, you know, Kanye West or anybody who's got a personality that would, you know, just win Academy Awards. He or be in the news. He's just a guy who studies space. And he talks about this imperfect circular orbit that the moon has, and the reasons it has an imperfect circular orbit. And sometimes it's very far away in relative terms. And sometimes we're talking about a couple hundred kilometers, which he said is not very much considering the moon is 230 million miles away. But we have this moon that has so many influences that sometimes it's closer or further away, depending on all of its forces. And the moon itself has the Earth pulling on it, the Sun pulling on it, Jupiter way away is pulling on it, and the Earth's oceans even, just like the moon affects the oceans affect the moon. And so sometimes it pulls it closer because of all that's happening in the universe. Then this actual closeness and further away, again, what are your gravitational pulls from the Earth? He said these words, what's really, really kind of, they were meaty to me. They were amazing words. The Earth's crust deforms according to the moon's gravitational pull, but you won't notice. So the Earth's crust, the actual crust of the Earth, because he was talking about how the oceans on the surface of the Earth change with the moon, but the moon also changes with the oceans as they move around, that the Earth's crust actually deforms according to the moon's gravitational pull, but you don't notice. So when we go into the break and come out of the break, I want you to breathe in and maybe ponder, maybe kind of let yourself roam around your universe a little bit and see what pulls are subtly deforming you without you even knowing it. And then I want you to put that into this huge emotional reaction with our elections, all the stuff that's going on out there, what you have control over or what you don't. When we come back, we're going to look at a little bit of St. Francis. We're going to look about actual physical health and healing and resilience in time of disease and stress. We will see you on the other side of the break. I am your host, Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You are welcome to text. You're welcome to call. You're welcome to email me at dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. So as we roll through life, as we go through spinning, hurling, and throughout the universe, which is what we are doing, as we move, as we spin, we can't feel it. We cannot feel it. And we have these pulls on us, both gravitational and natural, and we have these emotional and inner. So we have the inner and outer pulls. We have the pulls, the spiritual pull and the anti-spiritual pull. We have the good pull, the evil pull, the generational pull, the forward hasn't happened yet pull. We have all kinds of pulls. And so if we think about them too much, we just sit there and spin. But if we realize that they exist and don't discount their existence, do not discount their existence. Now, I want to, because I do want to address just very briefly the backlash, whatever it is about that is happening, at least, or has happened in this last few days since we had our elections here. And I want to tie that into what I had said in a couple of programs before the election. And what I was remarking on is that I was kind of taking just like a double take on hearing that there was this syndrome, election stress syndrome, or it wasn't a syndrome, disorder is what it was called, an actual disorder. And in our world, you may or may not understand the difference or know of, you would if you had heard of them, the different nuances between a disorder, a tendency, a proclivity. All those things are modifiers to a thing. So let's say if you have an obsessive compulsive disorder, you have certain criteria that have to be met to have a true disorder. Now, you can have obsessive compulsive tendencies. You can have obsessive compulsive traits. You can have anxiety with obsessive compulsive traits, which is different than obsessive compulsive disorder. And it's not two completely separate entities, it's just that one is the focus point, is causes you great dysfunction and great difficulty in life. Let's say the obsessive compulsive disorder, and is treated as a primary in the constellation. A trait or a syndrome has different connotations to it. Still exists. Some of the things are very similar, or they might even be OCD during times of stress. People will start cleaning, or they'll start obsessively cleaning, or they might tie shoes, you know, while people are talking. They might do little things they wouldn't do all the time, and for a short period of time it may or they may just be very they call themselves neat freaks or control freaks or whatever, and it may be the obsessive compulsive tendency, and we might be able to trace that to a feeling of helplessness, or a feeling of maybe they had a loss recently, or you know, there's all different things you have to think about. So it's never one, it's always this waveform, this continuum. So for me, a couple days before the election, coming across two people on two very mainstream news channels who were being interviewed, two separate psychologists who described this election stress disorder. And I, in my own mind and heart, I thought, sure, people get all riled up. Always have. Our country is filled, and all countries are filled with, you know, riots and punching each other out. And even our founding fathers, if you look at some of the old historical documents, you know, that they were pretty rowdy. And there's a lot of passion that goes into this stuff. But when you don't know history and your mind is diverted, when you're diverted to think, this is it. There was nothing before you. You have no frame of reference. So this happens to be the worst thing on the face of this earth. This outcome, let's say, and your fodder, you are prime targets. We're all little rabbits or little deer in the headlights to be told exactly what this is going to mean if we do not have a perspective. So our gravitational pulls that help us keep a little bit in our orbits, our gravitational pulls might be severed, let's say, and we're spinning out of control on this little planet. And so we're ready to believe anything we're going to believe. The other thing is those little gravitational pulls and forces over time and decades change and deform the crust, the ground you stand on, as the NASA gentleman put it. He said it deforms the ground you stand on, although you may not see it. That is a spiritual statement if ever I saw it, if ever I heard it, and a mental and a physical and it all. Just like every once in a while you will click on some really bizarre news story about someone who gets a very, very dire disease because they ate the same thing over and over over a period of years. There was something several years ago about a man who ate every single day for almost 15 years a microwave popcorn that had the cheese with the fake coloring in it. And he had ended up with some kind of, I don't know, I don't even remember if he died or not, but he had he became very ill. There was someone else who, you know this with babies, if you feed them too many carrots or whatever, their skin turns orange. And so it kind of gives you, because they're just like little instant, perfect little factories there. So you'll see the results pretty quickly. But that happens to us over time. But we don't feel it happening. It just becomes that. There was also another news story just, I don't know, a couple days ago about something very similar, about somebody who had been either eating or drinking something continually. And it was an energy drink, I think. And they ended up in liver failure because of the components in the energy drink. So you can become very much out of balance by this little bit every single day, every single day. So here we are, we have these elections. I'm kind of thinking, well, this is something they're putting out there that really occurs, and it's kind of like build it and they shall come. But it's not, I'm not blaming psychology. It's just the world we live in. And this is what I want to tell you, like the planet we are on. It is deforming under our feet by pulls that we either know or don't know about. And when you look at your life, and I talked to very learned people after the elections who were convinced that there were at this moment just, you know, wild reversion to horrible times in our country, just like people are, you know, would might be convinced that we are going to go back to the Spanish Inquisition. These really intense things, panicking about them. And I heard yesterday on a Catholic radio station, not Breadbox Media, but a Catholic radio station, I heard priests and people talking, psychologists talking about, you know, brother against brother and, you know, how to handle this and how stressful it is. And I'm, part of me is thinking, okay, I get that. That makes sense. You got, but then the another part's bugged. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, wait. I need to breathe. I need to live. I need to address friends that I know with breast cancer. I need to sit with people I know and with my own life in fixing a sprinkler outside and people who are in abusive relationships and who are crying or their children are being diagnosed with autism or this is where my eyes need to be. And as far as I know, there's a very good chance in this great nation, the entire nation, that you put it all together, we're still going to be able to call up and get those doctor's appointments today. We still get to drive our cars. We can't predict the future. And in this big nation in all of history, when you talk about Babylonian kings and this and that and great empires that fall and on, we have 4 years. And if it gets really bad, we have things in place that we don't, you know, if people don't like our new president or if they do like our new president. I'm not going there with any of you and what's good and what's bad. It's who we have. The country picked him. The country picked him. And if something comes up and we can get ourselves together, but if we are willing as individuals to get so incensed and enraged, I had people, Catholics, who I have very spiritual discussions with all the time, sarcastically talking about praying for our new president to completely change. It's like, you know, we need, someone said yesterday, I thought it was very wise. They said, we want our president to be successful because we will be successful. We want the presidency to morph into goodness. And so we pray for that. Some very good prayers out that for that. But I think it's to do it as St. Francis de Sales says, in a backhanded way, praying because you're both going nod, nod, wink, wink, you know, or a whole group of people, like, we know that this is like the worst thing that could ever happen in the history of the world. You know, let's just pull it in. I know I'm sounding extreme, but people are sounding extreme coming into it. So let's breathe a little and start looking at this big, beautiful universe. And hey, on the way back on the other side of the break, I want to talk about looking at that supermoon and what that can do for you. This is Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. you're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. We're walking this road together. You can email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, anytime, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, 24/7, anytime you want. You can email, and you can also call 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4, you can call, you can text. So here we are talking about just all kinds of little pinpoints of life. When I heard that person say that we need to open up and understand that we as a nation, and nations as nations, and worlds as worlds, make little incremental changes over time. We all are part in creating. We're together in this, and there's always been differences of opinion. And each time, have you noticed in the last several elections, each time there's an ether out there almost that says, this is what's going to happen if this evil person gets elected. And I don't care which side you're on, because the other one says the other one is. And the emotions get rampant, and they incite and they inflame. And there are hysteria. I mean, hysteria, for heaven's sakes. These are ancient terms. They're contagions. We know this. It's yelling fire in a theater. These are ancient notions. These are not new. And I think I saw today, I think it's Kanye West is going to Canada. Well, you know. So we have these things that happen all the time. And in reality, yeah, there's some really awful things that happen here. But when you have I had a very learned, I'm not kidding, Catholic person who said something like, white supremacists elected this person. And I thought, you know, they really make up a very small percentage of our, I don't know how many, because I didn't look it up, because I didn't really care that much, but I can't imagine that the percentage of Americans that actually subscribe to a hate group like that is a very large percentage. So I doubt they could actually drive an election. They can't. And most of the hate groups, the super hate groups, most of them, I would say, now this I'm just venturing out. It's my opinion. I'm not giving you fact here. But when you really look at the super hate groups, they really don't, most often they don't have a lot of money. Most often they're not going to give a lot of money going. And most often they have very few followers, except for people who also don't have much money. Sometimes they have money. They do have backers, but really they rarely gain a lot of ground. A lot of their heyday has passed. Nobody wants to see a resurgence of hatred, hate groups. I mean, bona fide hate groups. Nobody wants to see a resurgence of that. And I'm pretty confident, not 100%, but on every side, we have so many groups in place on all sides of the aisles, metaphorically speaking, that would rush to quash hate speech on any side, or hate action on any side. So we do have those things in place. So all I want to say is this, going to this whole idea of election stress, et cetera. Evidently, it is a real thing. In my interactions with people, yes, I mean, I hear it, I see it, we talk. I sat back, I decided to practice what I preach and just listen. I became a good listener. I'm a pretty good listener anyway, but I became a good listener, and I just listened. But what I heard inside, especially this friend, I heard a lot of pain, a lot of things that came out there. And so, you know, just kind of rolling them back a little bit, just rolling them back a little bit, and to take the slogans away from the speech just a little bit and say, you know, wait a minute, this is, you know, like, so where did you see that? And so let's talk about this. But even that was just because it was my friend. I'm not going to do that in groups. But the whole point is, what are you wasting your time on? We need to be aware, as gentle as doves, but as wise as serpents. That's a good thing to hold on to. But we also have to see that while we're, if you need to seek out help, if it's really got your blood pressure up, or you're very anxious and you're still not sleeping, or you find yourself getting into old bad habits because you're afraid. I mean, really, I had people tell me children are in their schoolrooms crying because they are going to be segregated again. And I said, well, I don't understand that. I mean, I don't know what to say. So if that's the case in your household, you need to really take a holistic viewpoint of it all. And if you need to get help, get help. But I think those of you who don't need to get help but are still kind of like on the fire about this, don't miss life, because life is moving on. Just like when the saddest thing happens to you and your baby dies, or your grandbaby dies, or your father, your mother, your sister, brother dies, you have a time of mourning and pain and thinking, I'm never going to eat again. Or people that, you know, in some cultures, they rip their clothes, they cut their hair, whatever. A time of mourning, then mourn. But remember, everybody out there is going to, as I heard someone else say, I didn't come up with this, but we're all going to kiss our babies tonight to say goodnight to them, hopefully, you know, if we have them, or our friends, or our God, or something. We really are. So we need to put our hearts back to where we are and realize that we all run into each other. And when you bend over to pick up my coffee cup that I drop, I'm not going to wonder who you voted for. I'm going to say thank you. And I hope you do the same for me, because this is what it's all about. And if it's bad, then be big enough to say it's bad. And if it's not bad, then be big enough to say it's not bad. But let's hold on. As someone told me, let's not count the grandchildren yet until you have your baby. You know, we don't know. There's a lot of unknown. So let's tie this in with the supermoon, because we have this opportunity. Now, we missed the biggest part of it because that was this morning. But God's earth, my goodness. First of all, don't underestimate how that pull, gravitational pull, is changing. That's what MRI is about, right? MRI, kind of. It is a magnetic resonance imaging. So what it does is it pulls all your, I think it's iron, I'm not sure, but it separates things and pulls a lot of your ions to the surfaces. I don't want to get into a dissertation of MRIs, because there I just need to Google something and you'll find out how it works. But we wouldn't have our images if we were not gravitationally or magnetically prone beings. We are, just like I say, we're bioelectrical. We have minerals in us. We have iron in us, and iron's going to work to magnets, right? So the same thing happens in supermoons. But here you have something in nature that is going to happen that has not happened since 1948. It is not going to happen again till 2034. And many of us probably won't be here in 2034. That is a ways away now. Or many of us are going to be so old. Your child right now in 2034, how old are they going to be? God willing. Wouldn't it be wonderful to talk about the supermoon now, to draw a little picture of where that is in that egg-shaped sphere of that orbit that is not a perfect circle, and maybe make you all know this, you're probably sick of hearing it. I talk about the thing my own child did with an orange and a flashlight. He gave me a tool about perspective that I use to this day. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give that gift to your child? To yourself, to take some guy from NASA who's talking about the beauty of the craters of the moon. He said, well, I'm not going to tell anyone not to look through the telescope, but if you want to see the beauty, look at it at a crescent moon. You'll see the shadows, the beauty of the lunar landscape. So let's take this back now to Catholicism. And in our last segment, I want to go into resilience and actual physical healing and family healing as well. So we're going to talk about resilience in times of disease and stress, but this all really will tie in. So I want to take a little journey here to St. Francis. We're going to go from Hildegard of Bingen, St. Hildegard. St. Hildegard talks about crystal therapy. If you read her books, I've got about 10 of her books. She talks about the earth, the elements, the sun, the stars, the moon. Saint, she's a Christian mystic. She is heralded not just in the Catholic Church, but in Germany, she's considered one of the founders of science, fathers of science or mothers of science. So when we return, we're going to also look at what Saint Francis of Assisi has to say about our supermoon. And we will see you on the other side of the break. I am your host, Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. We were on this journey together, always, 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 no matter who you are, no matter if you're in your own heart or mind, you are with me. I am with you. It's a wonderful journey. It's beautiful. And we must take advantage of our nature. My dog is taking advantage of his nature right now. Mozart, if you can hear him, I'm sure you can. Every once in a while, he does show up in these programs because he barks and he's not close to me right now. So you might all hear him. Going by his nature, exactly by his nature. So our resilience to disease and to healing, we do not want to approach disease. Now hear this. Not saying this isn't a constant struggle, I would say, for me, not in that I am willfully struggling, but I lose it very quickly as well. So these are words, these are little seeds to plant. I hope for you that as we have been in our soundbite world and how quickly we can go from just something that has been occurring since we became a voting nation to where it's catastrophe and children are crying and all, just so quickly we can believe something. In our own bodies, we have a lot of toxins around in our environments, and we have a lot of emotional toxin. We have a lot of debilitation on the immune system. The immune system, the interferon, the different cells that we have, they actually react to bad news. They actually do. They can measurably, science backs, they are measurably depressed when we get bad news. And if we are live in a constant state of bad news, every 2 seconds, I mean, whatever bad news I saw when I logged on before this program, when I get back on to just check mail and I get another news feed, bad news, my immune system, just by hearing that, will depress. Your immune system depresses It's science. It's just science. It's just fact. It's not airy-fairy stuff. This really happens. You do have magnetic fields. You do have electrical fields. It just is. You wouldn't be able to have an EKG if it wasn't, to check the electrical activity of the heart. You would not be able to have an EEG to check the electrical activity of your brain. You would not be able to have an MRI. You would not be able to have an X-ray even if you were not a natural being made up of water, made up of minerals, because that's why you can see the bones and you don't see a lot of the other tissue on an X-ray. So we are these beings that are bombarded constantly by chemtrails, by all of our constant sound waves, everything. So but we are made for this time. So we have within us what we need to continue and to build our resilience and our resistances. But if we believe that it's just, oh, it's a lost cause, we can't do it, it's as awful, it's too big, we're going to, you know, if we believe that, then we are depressing our own immune systems, and we are feeding into and having kind of a, not a self-fulfilled prophecy, but an artificial prophecy. We're going down a path that's going to not help us. Now, we have very devastating news all the time, and our immune systems do depress, but we're also made, because all throughout history, children die. All throughout history, people get terminal illnesses. All throughout history, people fall off cliffs. People get bitten by snakes and animals and scorpions and everything else. We have within us, not only can we heal, but we have the tools already built in, locked into our DNA. Just like everything else is locked in, cancer cells are locked into your DNA. Everything's locked into your DNA, or the expression of, let me put it this way, expression. Things get turned off and turned on all the time. We don't even know what's happening. But we have within us to form this resilience. Now more than ever, we have to listen to our saints and listen to God, listen to nature, and not be so divisive, however you say that word. Don't reject what God tells you in Jacob. Ask the animals and they shall tell you. I'm sorry, Jacob, in Job. Ask the animals, they shall tell you. Ask the earth, it will speak to you. The birds of the air will inform you. Job 12:7. Don't discount that. Don't discount God's miracles. Don't discount what he says. Don't discount the Mother Church's wisdom in saying Hildegard von Bingen is a saint, or Saint Francis is a saint, and just think it was some cute ancient thing they decided to do when they said, the earth is a creature. Rocks are creatures. The creator created them. So, and they have meaning on this earth. They're just not something that you buy at Home Depot to put in your garden. They have actual meanings and actual things. When you run water through charcoal, there's a reason why it purifies it. And it's all science. And it's all about the stuff we're made up of too. So I want you to hold that in your heart very seriously about you. Now, I've only got a couple more minutes, so I want to read to you Richard Rohr's daily meditation today, because it talks exactly about what we are talking about. It's called the univocity of being. Sorry, it's a made-up word by another Catholic. But he starts off, we won't get everything, with a quote from Saint Bonaventure. And the first quote he gives is, all things are transformed in Christ, since in the fullness of his nature, he embraces some part of every creature. Then it says, Christ is something in common with all creatures. With the stone, he shares existence. With the plants, he shares life. With the animals, he shares sensation. With the angels, he shares intelligence. Thus, all things are transformed in Christ, since in the fullness of his nature, he embraces some part of every creature. Now I'm going to go on. This is Father Richard Rohr talking about, he's a Franciscan. He says, in the stories of his life. St. Francis is quoted as talking to or about larks, rabbits, lambs, pheasants, falcons, cicadas, waterfowl, bees, the most famous wolf of Gubbio, pigs whom he raised for generously giving their bodies for our food, and hooked fish that he tried to throw back in the water whenever possible. He addresses inanimate creation, too, as if it were indeed ensouled. His canticle of the creatures includes fire, wind, water, brother, sun, sister, moon, and, of course, our sister Mother Earth herself. It even told the friars to only cut down part of the tree for their needs so the rest could sprout again. So-called, quote, nature mysticism, unquote, was a worthy entranceway for Francis, and then Bonaventure laid the theological foundation for the same by seeing all things as likenesses of God, fingerprints and footprints, vestigia Dei, that reveal the divine DNA underlying all living links in creation. John Duns Scotus would philosophically name this the univocity of all being. In other words, we may speak of all beings with one consistent voice. Don Nothwell, a Franciscan sister, lovingly calls it cosmic mutuality. The Franciscan notion of the univocity of being gave an early philosophical foundation to what we now call the circle of life or ecosystem, halons and fractals, being parts that replicate the whole. We are parts that replicate the whole. The supermoon replicates the whole, and we replicate the supermoon in our living being and breathing. You see how this all ties together now? Unitive or contemplative thinking and mysticism itself, Don Scotus believed creation was more than an analogy of being, as Thomas Aquinas taught. There was an objective continuity between creator and creatures. Praise be you, Lord, my Lord, through all your creatures, said St. Francis of Assisi. So we're wrapping up. I want you to kind of take a journey around this orbit today. We're orbiting around the center, and the center is life-giving, the life-giving essence. Saint Hildegard von Bingen called, when she talked about God, she talked about him as light, living light. The living light saith, it's light, the light of life. When we talk about the moon, there is a Hildegard crater on the moon because Hildegard von Bingen, German writer, composer, mystic, and visionary in Germany, she's considered the founder of the scientific study of natural history. So we're all tied. It's not antiquated notions versus popular reality. Understand that it's a big life, and your job on life is uniquely yours. You were given it, but take part in nature. Teach your children. We will see you tomorrow. Thank you for this walk today. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You've been with me on Dr. Michelle Live.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.